Blog Talk Radio. Good evening and welcome to Wisdom Walk here on Black Hole Radio and my YouTube channel, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. I am your host and guide, Jojapa Maria Ensaroma. The year 2020 reminds us that we can have a clear vision for our future. 2020 is that year that leads humanity away from the old and unnecessary beliefs and structures and over to the threshold of the new and necessary beliefs and structures. Now, February is the first of three fire months in the year, in this Earth year that we're having, and it will demand us to stand in truth, vulnerability, worthiness, commitment, and adaptability. Yeah. My theme for this month is waking up to your truth. And through four live radio broadcasts, although this one is actually a podcast, and accompanying videos, I will provide you with inspirational messages to support you in the waking up process. Tonight, I will present part two, which is Black History Inspiration, since this is Black History Month here in the United States. But first, for those of you who may be listening or watching for the first time, let me give you a brief overview of the program. Wisdom Walk is a personal development resource for your mind, body, and soul. My ministry is any pain that is not transformed will be transferred. So the initial goal of my program is to guide you and support you in learning how to recognize and release any and all pain that may be blocking you from fulfillment in life, or what I like to call having your happy endings in life. Every Sunday night at 5 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. Pacific Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Time, I broadcast live here on Black Hole Radio. Unless I'm on hiatus or like I'm doing today, I'm actually doing a podcast, so it won't be live when you get this. It'll actually be a podcast. And if for some reason when you are listening to the live broadcast and you have a problem with your internet, you can listen to it by using this telephone number, which is 563-999-3089. Now, I will upload a video of this broadcast, hopefully by Wednesday of this week. I missed last week because I had, I took a little vacation time. And so I owe two videos at this point, but they'll be coming. They'll definitely be coming along. And that will be on my YouTube channel, which is Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery. Now, if you have any comments or questions that you'd like to share, you can do that on my Facebook page, which is Wisdom Walk Radio, or you can go to my website and find the email address to connect with me. And my website is, and you'll see it on the screen here, www.wisdomwalktoselfmastery.com. And, of course, if you are watching the video, you can leave comments and ask questions in the comments box below. I do pay attention to that. But right now, I invite you to sit or lay back and join me for an exploration of the inner landscape where we can connect to our soul and discover the true treasure of being human. Now, excuse me for a minute because I'm feeling a little something in my throat, so I got to take a little bit of water here. All right, that feels a lot better. And as always, I'm going to open up my program by first honoring the ancestors. And yes, these are the people whose shoulders we're standing upon, the people for whom we are beholden to, for who and where and why we are today. God bless the ancestors. And so in the tradition that I wisdom keep, we invite ancestors to be our guides and way showers and reminders as we are navigating through life. And especially with all that is going on in the world right now, especially here in the United States, I think any non-physical, extraterrestrial help that we can get, yeah, it's like really, really needed. So tonight I want to start off by honoring all of the ancestors who fought for our freedom. And, you know, the energetic that the United States is going through right now is, it comes up, you know, it seems like every century, or what the world is going through right now, you can say that. It comes up every century. In other words, there's going to be some challenge to human rights and to human freedom. Sometimes it lasts for centuries. But there's always this time period when, like, we're being given an opportunity to choose. We've been given an opportunity to choose. So I thought calling up those ancestors who know what it's like to actually die for freedom, who gave their lives for human rights, for the ending of oppressive systems like slavery, even indentured service, that you know, yeah, they would be good guides for us coming along right now. Yeah. So join me if you will. I'm just going to do an invocation here and call out to all of those wonderful ancestors that know the importance of freedom and having that and maintaining that and fighting for that as human beings. Creator, Mother, Father, God, Source, all the one, all that is, I thank you. I thank you. I thank you for the blessing and mercy that you bring us in this life. And to once again call out to the ancestors. Creator, thank you for these great emissaries that go between your consciousness and our human consciousness, and who in their ability to connect us with the earth and also with the sky can bring us this remembrance, this honoring of the truth of who we are. And so we call upon those ancestors who gave their lives for freedom so that others could be free. And we call upon them at this time to really guide us, to help us ask for the courage that we need to do the right thing, to say the right thing, to discern between that which is in the best interest of all humans versus that which is just basically coming out of somebody's fear or ego. And so we welcome you, ancestors, into our hearts, into our spirits, and into our minds to help us navigate through this year of 2020 as we are at this precipice and opening ourselves to taking a great leap forward into freedom. And Creator, once again, I thank you for this opportunity to call on the ancestors in the name of all that is holy. I say amen, ashe, aho, asa, shinga, bisila. So it is. Ashe. Ashe. Wow. Again, January was quite a ride. It was quite a ride. I just had a conversation with my cousin, and she shared with me some of her challenges, too. So I know lots of people out there really were dealing with some deep emotional stuff. And it seemed like over the last week and a half, we kind of got to a plateau of being able to just go, or at least I know that I did, and some of other people I know I did. There may have still been some challenges going on, but it was like, okay, I'm going to get through this. I'm going to move through this. I'm going to move through this. So I'm going to share with you the elemental wisdom for this week, and as well as some astrological information to help you continue to navigate through this month of February. So because January 1st started on a Wednesday, the elemental week goes from a Wednesday, the elemental week goes from Wednesday through Tuesday. And so this Wednesday, February the 12th, which is also Lincoln's birthday, we have a fire week, which will go into Tuesday the 19th. And so here's the opportunity for this week. It's about being truthful with yourself and others, my theme for the month. And it's about calling up those ancestors to bring you the clarity when you feel confused or conflicted. This is about walking your talk. This is about living in self-referred consciousness, meaning you trust your intuition and honest feelings more than the opinion, advice, or judgment of others. Allow your inner authentic self, your true self, to be in charge of your life versus the image of yourself that you have been projecting out to the world. As Mr. Rogers says, people can love you exactly the way you are. So with every opportunity comes some distractions, and here are five that you want to be on the lookout for this week. Number one, maintaining the status quo, which is going along with the program because other people are doing it, not wanting to feel like an outsider, right? Abandoning your true self in order to please others or avoid conflict. Again, right? That's why we will follow the status quo. But don't do it. Don't do it. Don't abandon yourself. Don't abandon your needs. Lying to yourself or others, you know, being in that denial place, not a good idea. sacrificing your needs in order to belong or be included. You know, that can only last but so long. We do it a lot, of course, in elementary school and junior high school, especially in high school, but there comes a time when we need to put that down and realize that, no, it's not going to work. It's never going to work. And then last but not least, that fear of not being liked, loved, or accepted. And so you hide yourself. So this week, buck up. Ask for the courage that you need to really experience being true to yourself. Now, next Wednesday, the 19th, we will be in a mineral week, a time to remember purpose. I just love how fire and mineral go together so well. And, of course, I'll tell you all about that in the next broadcast. As a reminder, I have declared that in addition to April, October needs to be Earth Month. And in addition to that, because of what the work we need to do on this planet to really learn how to be sustainable, I've declared every 22nd of the month, of each month, to be Earth Day. And so I will definitely be giving you some suggestions for how you can honor the Earth and contribute to its sustainability. Now, moving into the astrological guidance. Yesterday, last night, and I hope you were in a place where the sky was clear enough to see it, and into today, we've had the most delicious full moon in the sign of Leo. And astrologers consider this like one of the best full moons. This is a time of joy and merging and yin and yang energy coming together, fire and water coming together. So this is a happy time moon, a happy moon. And there's only one this year. This is the only one this year. So I talked about this in the last broadcast, but I'll remind you that this full moon may bring to light the areas of your life where you need to breathe in more happiness and joy. So says the astrologer Barbara Goldsmith, who I like. She says, Leo has childlike energy. It wants to play, to have fun. It rules creativity. So it's a good time to really express your creativity and do something creative. And she asks that, what do you do to release those creative urges within you? How can you bring more play into the world? She says fire and earth are the predominant elements of Leo. Fire brings inspiration and hope, and earth brings practicality and tranquility. You may have a wonderful idea, which is the fire, and she says make sure you can take an action step to manifest it in the world, which is the earth piece. So again, this wonderful time to really open up and be expressed creatively, you know, open up to, you know, having something new and something that you created show up in your life. Another astrologer I like, whose website and YouTube channel is Forever Conscious, her name is Tanaz. She says that Leo is a fire sign that reminds us to connect with that which lights us up. I really like that. Yeah. It reminds us to connect with our inner fire, with our inner sun, and to remember that life is for experiencing rather than controlling. Wow, isn't that amazing? And of course, that means, like, you know, surrendering our will, to a greater purpose, and going with that flow. She asks, what sets your soul on fire? What fans your inner flame? What brings you a sense of purpose as you move through the experiences of life? So I think I'm going to add to these interpretations that this full moon really comes at a time when we need to put an emphasis on having hope and faith, that we don't give in to circumstances or situations that have occurred that we may not be happy about or we don't like or feel uncomfortable or disruptive, because everything changes. That's what we really can be clear and sure about. So because everything changes, we can have hope and we can have faith. And we actually can begin to act like things have changed. We can begin to, you know, let go of staying stuck in an anger or despair and say, wait a minute, things are going to change. So let me take some time to act like things have changed. And how would I feel? What would I be doing? What would I be saying? You know, and this is important. This is a really healthy thing to do because we got to not fall into despair, thinking that, oh, my God, it's over. It's done. This is so bad. Nothing's going to change. It's just going to get worse, you know. Like I heard a report that a sacred Native American site in Arizona was blown up for the building of this wall between the United States and Mexico. And, you know, that's so sad. It's heartbreaking. It's beyond words heartbreaking. But I don't want to stay into that and the anger of that. I want to say, you know what? Okay. So one site has been decimated, but there's going to be another site that gets discovered. Another site is going to show up. Or I want to think about how, okay, what can happen to reclaim that site, you know, even if it takes a decade or two, like what can happen to reclaim that? How can that begin, that process begin? And so, again, we want to be in that mode of hope and faith rather than in despair and fear about the different things that are occurring in the world right now, including the coronavirus. We want to have some hope and faith about that. You know, since the beginning of time, there are diseases that come into our world, and we have to stay hopeful that there will be a cure, that it can be handled, not go into a fear or into a panic about it. That won't solve anything. Yeah. So enjoy that beautiful Leo moon tonight if you're in a place that you can see it. Can't see it, go online to YouTube it. You'll definitely, somebody will be taking pictures of the beautiful Leo full moon. But more importantly, feel that energy. Feel that loving, joyful, playful, creative energy. Let that into your life. And, you know, even if you're able to do it for just a nanosecond, it makes a difference in your outlook, in your emotional wellness. Yeah. So compared to how January started off, you know, it's just so wonderful that there's not all this astrological stuff to have to be talking about. The bad stuff that I have to talk about, because it is very, very challenging. Pluto and Saturn. Oh, did I say that? Let me not talk about it. Anyway, it's still going on. So, of course, we're still going to be having challenges, but at least we right now have a break. Next week I will share with you about the Mercury retrograde from a very positive aspect. So let me move into giving you an overview of tonight's program. I started off last week using the film Groundhog Day to kind of give an overview about waking up to your truth. And so tonight I'm just going to do a quick review to define what waking up to your truth is about. Then I'm going to talk about, using Black history inspiration, Harriet Tubman and Jackie Robinson, and what it is that their lives teach us about this waking up to your truth. And then, of course, I will leave you with a personal challenge. So here's a quote that I used for announcing the program, and it's from Don Miguel Ruiz, the wonderful Toltec wisdom keeper from Mexico, and the author of the book The Four Agreements, and some other wonderful books that he has put out of this wonderful ancient wisdom that is so relevant today. And he says, truth is silent. The truth doesn't come with words. It's something that I just know. It's something that I can feel without words. And it's called Silent Knowledge. Ashe, ashe. That's beautiful. So, waking up to your truth, waking up to the silent knowledge. You know, I think when we are young and starting out in our lives and out in our career, we are very much in a learning mode. And we're trying out different things, and we're trying out different masks and different roles, and we are imitating our parents in ways we could never imagine. So it's very, very hard for us to get to our truth. But there comes a time in your life, usually it was age 40, it may be up to, it may be as soon as age 30 now, based on how things are shifting in human consciousness. But there comes a time when you just become aware that something's off, that there's something more about you, that it's not just the things that you know or you've been doing and you've been seeing and you've been chasing after, and you know, you start to kind of long for, in Brazil they call it saudade. You know, you get the saudade going on where there's something more, something calling you, you know. You might feel a kind of restlessness. And when that occurs, that is your truth trying to come out. Because waking up to your truth is a developmental process. And I believe it's happening even before birth. I think as soon as your soul gets incarnated into that little zygote inside of your mama's womb, there's already a process that is working to wake you up to your truth, to have you remember it. And so you have to go through this process, you know. And finally, you will get to a point where you are really ready to know your truth and to be aligned with it. Now, the root, the essence of your truth is that you are a divine being. You are a divine being. You are so much more than just this physical experience that you are having. And your power resides within you. Yeah. And at first we do live life from the outside in, meaning we connect with and attach to things that are outside of ourselves in order to know ourselves. So, for example, I can remember when I got my first car, it was a little green Volkswagen. I called him David. And, you know, like, oh, my God, I got a car. That made me something. And I can run here and I can go there and take my grandmama to the store. You know, it was like, oh, my God, I got this car, you know. And I got really attached to it. And I did not want to not have a car. That was, like, not going to work for me. Like, it became a part of who I was. So that's normal. We do that. But then we get to a point where we have to let go of that attachment to things outside of ourselves so that we really discover what we really are and who we really are and what this is really about. And, again, as I said, it really is a process. It is a lifelong journey. Yeah. It doesn't happen overnight. But again, not living your truth will become intolerable. You will no longer feel comfortable if you're not living your truth. And we do get glimpses of our truth along the way. We get glimpses of what is really in alignment with who we are, yeah. But it's not until everything falls into place, because it's never just about us. It always involves other people, situations, yeah. And it's not until those things kind of are falling into place that, yeah, that you really wake up to your truth. You really wake up to your truth. The truth of who we are is that we are not meant to be here to suffer and struggle, okay? That is not the purpose of your life. You're not here to be in debt especially if you've gone to school, and to get an education, you know, to grow yourself, you know, to be able to take on a responsibility in contributing to your community and to the world around you. You're not supposed to be in debt for the rest of your life. That's not why we're here. No. And the only way those things can shift is when we wake up to our truth. If we think that, you know, situations that don't work for us are things that are going to last forever, then that's not a good day, because then we might decide to do something illicit, you know, or criminal to get out of it. No, no, no. If you can believe in the truth of who you are, no matter what situation can show up for you, there is a way that it will end. There is a way that you will transcend it. And you never have to prostitute yourself, whether that is literally or figuratively, in order to have what it is that you need. Yeah. Because again, the truth of who you are is that you're a spiritual being connected to divine source, to divine source. I'm in the process of writing my second book, and I'm trying to really explain how, you know, this universe and the earth that we live in has been created in exactly specific ways that enable us to be here and to breathe and to stand up and to, you know, think and to grow. And, you know, it's mind-boggling when you realize all of the little details that have to be in existence for us to be alive. It's unbelievable. Yeah. And so when you think about how God, the universe, greater order and direction, whatever you want to call that unknown, that mysterious intelligence that created all this, right? When you realize that that intelligence put all of that together so we can be here, then it must have also put together what our truth is, what our purpose is. And for us to not believe in that, that's sinful. Yeah. And the word sin in Latin really means going against. It means going against. And that's it. It's like you're going against the truth of who you are if you don't believe that you have a purpose in life, and a purpose beyond just survival. Right, I'm not talking about I'm here to, you know, make sure I got money coming in so I can eat and have a roof over my head. No, you're here for so much more than just that. Yeah. So, again, you have this truth inside of you. It's been there from inception. And I believe it's always fighting to come out. Because like I said, as you're growing, you're going to get glimpses of your truth, but you may not have the support or be in the right environment or the right time for it to all come together. But eventually, it will come together. But you have to let go of this belief that life is about struggling and suffering with no reward, with no benefit. And you've got to remember the truth of who you are. So let me jump into sharing some stories about Harriet Tubman and Jackie Robinson. You know, when I do my research to find what I'm looking for to help illustrate the points that I'm making for you, it's just so amazing to find new information or find things you didn't know about these incredible human beings who really, you know, started out no different than you and me. Like, you know, I'm here and I got to figure out how to survive. You know, it's not like they were born into royalty or, you know, given a silver spoon in their mouth or, you know. No, I mean, they really came from, you know, the grassroots, the really grassroots. But through this calling into truth and choosing to answer that call, they've made incredible contributions, not just to Black people in America or to the African diaspora, but to all human beings. Their stories are universal. So, interesting, Harriet Tubman was born in 1819, and she died in 1913. She was 94 years old when she died. Now, you have to know that the lifespan, the typical lifespan during that time period was around like 45. Yeah, most people just lived into the 40s. It was very unusual for people to live into their 60s, 70s, 80s, and 90. Yeah. Very few people, especially coming from slavery, were able to do that. So this is a phenomenal, phenomenal human being. Jackie Robinson is born 6 years after Harriet Tubman dies. Yeah. And he died in 1972 at the age of 53. Yeah. And he did die from chronic disease of diabetes. It affected his heart. He died from a heart attack. So he, you know, his lifespan would be more of what you would expect from Harriet Tubman, and her lifespan would be more what you expect from Jackie Robinson. So it's really interesting. But also their lives is like a timeline, a continuity of evolution, human evolution, up from slavery. Because, of course, Harriet Tubman was born into slavery in Maryland. And in her life, she goes from, you know, being a slave, being in that survival mode, deep survival mode, to becoming a most successful rescuer of others out of slavery. She becomes a Union soldier, a nurse. She was the first woman to lead a battle for the U.S. Army, which, by the way, she didn't get paid for her service to the Army at the time. They did give her a $20 a month pension later on, but, you know, she didn't get, like, you know, because the soldiers got paid, you know, and she didn't get a pay. And, of course, she was a champion for human rights, women's rights, and, of course, the abolition of slavery. She was a conductor on the Underground Railroad from 1850 to 1860. And when the Civil War came, she first was a nurse. She served in the hospitals, Union hospitals, and she also did spying. Yeah, because she was a little short thing, you know, so she could easily move around. And plus, you know, they didn't expect a woman or someone who's like a slave to be, you know, spying. And she also was a general when she led that battle. You know, she was amazing. So she did that into 1865. And, you know, this woman's just phenomenal that by the time she's ready to die, this was like 5 years before she dies in 1908, she opened up a home to the elderly and the poor next to her house that she was able to buy. She had some good support because, you know, people were fascinated by her. I mean, she really was like a rock star among that circle of people around abolitionists. And, you know, they really honored her. But, I mean, she was just absolutely amazing, absolutely amazing. So Jackie Robinson, he is born to sharecroppers. So this is post-slavery stuff. So it's like Harry's born in slavery. She escapes from slavery, helps other people escape. Jackie Robinson is born in Jim Crow America and to sharecropper. And he ends up breaking the color line, as they called it, in baseball, which opens up the way for other major league sports to also have the color line broken. And he did that in 1947. That was, even, you know, a young man when he did that. Now, his life is interesting because his mother, oh my God, what an incredible woman. So Here she is in Cairo, Georgia. She's got five children, Jackie and four other siblings. She decides to move to Pasadena, California, before Jackie's even 1 year old. So after she had Jackie, she was like, I'm getting up out of here. I'm getting up out of here. And you have to understand, this is like 1919, okay? There were cars, but there weren't a lot of roads between Cairo, Georgia, and Pasadena, California, okay? There were trains, you know. I don't even know if they had buses yet. Like, they might have had some buses. I don't know. I didn't get to do that part of the research. But I'm going to tell you, though, that trip, single woman, five children, from Georgia to California, oh, my God. And she had saved up enough money that she was actually able to buy a house in Pasadena. Yeah. And, of course, the neighbors got together and had a petition going to tell them that they couldn't be there. And she was like, "Is my house. I bought it. I'm going to be here." And so she broke the color line, the red line, in Pasadena, California by being the only black family in that neighborhood that Jackie grew up in. Yeah. So he got it from his mama. You know, his mama was preparing him for what his truth and his calling was. Just amazing. Jackie and the family are highly intelligent, and he did very well in school and also with sports. He actually excelled in five sports, and I just found this out. I didn't know this. Football, basketball, track, baseball, and tennis. You know, you think, oh, he's just a baseball player. No, Jackie was, like, well-rounded. He did all of it, did all of it. He even gets a scholarship to UCLA in 1939. Yeah. Now, you have to understand, that's, like, amazing. That is really amazing. 1939 to get the scholarship to UCLA. And he became All-American in football in 41. Now, he doesn't graduate because, and from what I researched, there might have been some money issues. I don't know, because if you got a scholarship, usually that's covering enough. And I know he was working a job. But anyway, he doesn't graduate. But at that point, the war broke out, World War II broke out. So he enlists and joins the Army. And in that time that he was in the Army, because, again, he's really intelligent, so he actually gets into officer school. And he ends up being a lieutenant by the time he is given a honorable discharge. But Jackie had a thing that happened for him that really helps to prepare him for what was coming, dealing with the breaking of the color barrier in baseball. And like Harriet, too, you know, she runs away first in 1849. That's when she got out. She's like, I got to go. I'm out of here. And she was married. Her husband was a freeman. He had, because there was ways that, you know, as a slave you could, and you can't imagine how, right? But either it was the former master said, okay, I'm going to free my slaves when I die. Or they were like, if you do this job, you know, I'll give you a little money, and you save up money and you can buy your freedom. So some way, somehow, her husband was free, but she wasn't. And her husband was comfortable. He was like, I want to stay here. I'm good. But she was like, no, this is not a good situation for me. Like, it's not feeling good. It ain't right. And so that's the first time that she runs, and she makes it up to Philadelphia with the help of the abolitionists. She gets there. She gets a little job. She's working, and then she's like, I need to go back. I need to go back and help. I need to get some other people out. And when she goes back, it's to help her brother, who had already was planning to run. And so she was able to get them to help them out. Now, by the time she goes back in 1860, that was 1850, the United States passed what they called the Fugitive Slave Law, which meant that the Southerners had a right to come north and reclaim their slaves that had gotten free. And this was all the effort of, you know, Abraham Lincoln's administration to try to keep the country together and not have to go to war. But, you know, it was crazy. So that's when then the Underground Railroad opens up to get people up into Canada. Then she goes back again, and this time she wanted to bring her husband. But at that point, again, he thought she's just probably dead. He got remarried. And so Harriet's heart is broken. Broken. Not only is he remarried, but he doesn't leave because he's free. He's there. He doesn't have a problem being there. But her heart gets really, really broken. And it's through that heartbreak, I believe, that she was able to surrender even more to the calling that she was being given. And in the movie, Harriet, which I hope everybody sees because it was very well done, it's a female director, and the star, Cynthia Erivo, deserves an Academy Award. She played that part to the max. So in the story there, I like how they dramatize the event when Harriet is so heartbroken, and she's like at this tree on her knees, and talking to her God and saying, like, God, why did you do this? Why did you bring me back? Why did you have me come back? Why did you, you know, what is this about? And very quickly she learns that it's about her being chosen to rescue people from slavery and to do that successfully by following and listening to her intuition, to her God. Yeah. And, you know, she had like a narcolepsy because of a head injury she got from the slave master when she refused to help tie somebody up who had escaped. And they hit her in the head with a tie iron. She was out for like 3 weeks, I think, unconscious. And when she comes to, she's like, will go out and just fall out and go into a sleep like narcolepsy, and then she wakes up. And so what was happening when she was freeing the slaves is that she'd go out, and while she was out, she was getting visions and information, like the ancestors was talking to her, God was talking to her, and she would know, okay, we ain't going that way, we got to go this way. Like she would be able to intuit and be guided for how to do, how not to get captured, recaptured. It's an amazing, amazing story. But it's that piece that I want to emphasize to you about how, you know, she thought she was going back, you know, to get her husband and to have a life with her husband, but it really was about you're going to be the woman they call Moses. Yeah, this is your thing. Now let me jump back to Jackie Robinson, because he's like, you know, he's this big star, this big athlete, you know, had some good ego because he's wins and, you know, he's got this good ego, got a scholarship to UCLA, you know. So now the war comes along, and he's able to get into officer's school, he's a candidate for officer's school, right? You know, like everything's just going for him, flowing for him, right? And then it happens. He gets onto this bus at Fort Hood in Texas, and by this time, the army has started to desegregate. They're starting to allow blacks and whites to fight together. So the bus driver says to him, boy, get in the back of the bus. And Jackie's like, who are you calling boy? I ain't getting in no back of the bus. I'm a U.S. soldier. I'm an army soldier. By then, maybe he was like a sergeant. So I'm like, I'm not getting in the back. Oh, no, he's a lieutenant by then. I'm not getting in the back of the bus. The bus driver don't say anything because he know Jackie could beat his butt. But when they get to their destination, the bus driver calls up the MVPs and they arrest Jackie. And so Jackie actually has to go through a court-martial trial. And there were some racist lawyers there, and they really try to make this out like, you know, he's, you know, insubordinate, he's bad, he's mean, and blah, 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 blah. But anyway, during the court-martial, all the truth comes out, and Jackie is exonerated. But Jackie got humbled because Jackie had to learn that despite all of what he knew and what he could do and all the awards he got and all the this and that, he still had to deal with this issue of being considered less than and disposable. Yeah. Yeah, it was deep. And so he ends up being honorably discharged from the Army. He never got to fight, and he never got to the front lines. It's very interesting. And so when he comes out from that experience, it's just 2 years later that he gets tagged to become a Brooklyn Dodger and the first black person to play for Major League Baseball, Major League Sports. And, of course, you know the hell he went through. You can imagine the hell he went through as the first black man coming up to the plate. Yeah, it was something. But, again, God had prepared him. God had prepared him for that, as Harriet Tubman had been prepared for what she went through. So the inspiration from this, you know, what we learn from this about waking up to your truth. I want you to notice that, you know, usually we don't know our truth until it calls or shows up, because neither of them were little kids talking about, you know, this is what I'm going to do when I grow up. You know, she wasn't talking about I'm going to risk my life and risk going back into slavery by going back, you know, 10 times to get people out of slavery and walk up, you know, from Maryland all the way up into Canada, you know, and to, you know, be a spy for the Union Army. None of this stuff that she was like thinking this is what she was going to be doing, you know. And Jackie Robinson surely didn't think, oh, I'm going to bust up the color line. You know, no, he just wanted to play his sports. That's all he was doing, right? And Harry, she just surviving. So it's really inspiring to know that, you know, we don't have to know what our higher purpose is in order to step into it, that we don't have to know our truth in order for it to call to us and for us to choose to have it. So, you know, again, she didn't dream about being the hero she becomes. He didn't dream about being the hero he becomes, you know, but they became that. And that's because what they teach us is that we are all here for a bigger purpose than what we know. We're all here for a bigger purpose than what we know. Second is that God, the universe, your greater order, your direction, whatever you want to call it, will prepare us through unexpected challenges that come up. Yeah, yeah. So you will get preparation for what this higher calling is with these unexpected challenges. So for her, you know, with having to go back, like getting that pull to go back, really did bring her husband out and some family members, but she ends up helping so many other people. And him, you know, this unexpected challenge of, you know, I'm in the Army. I got into the officer's group and I'm being treated like this. It's like, whoa, you know. And then lastly, when we choose to accept our truth, we accomplish great things that contribute to the well-being of others. And I think that's probably the most important point in this, is to know that choosing to live your truth, to be aligned with your truth, isn't just about you. It's not just about your fulfillment or getting to your happy ending. It's going to affect other people. And I don't care if those other people are just the family that you have or the friends that you know, okay? Because all of that matters. Right. So we don't have to become famous, you know, and leave the kind of legacy that Harriet Tubman and Jackie Robinson left. But we can have significant impact on the people around us. Significant impact. Like when I think about my grandma and my grandfather, oh, my God, the impact that their life has had on me is huge. Huge. Yeah. And they made some sacrifices and they made some choices that contributed to my well-being and continues to contribute to my well-being. So here's my personal challenge for you this week. Do you believe that you have a higher purpose in life? If so, why? Why do you believe that? If not, why not? Why don't you believe you have a higher purpose in life? And lastly, if you're ready to be aligned with your higher truth and purpose in life, make a formal written request to your greater order and direction, your God, your Buddha, your Allah, you know, your Jehovah, whatever. Make a formal written request and place it on your altar. Because there's nothing wrong with us consciously stepping into our developmental process that all humans have the opportunity to experience. Yeah. And if you're watching this on YouTube, know that I will list this personal challenge in the box below, and I will also post it on my Facebook page, Wisdom Walk Radio. Wow. We've come to the conclusion of this spiritual spill on waking up to your truth and using Black history, historical figures to inspire us to learn and understand the importance of doing that. I want to close by first shouting out to my wonderful engineer, Miss Yvette Parker, who I disrupted her Saturday a little bit by doing a pre-recording of this. And so I'm so grateful to her and the entire Black Hole Be Well family. I could not do this without your support. Thank you, thank you, thank you. To all my regular listeners out there, especially Miss Sarah, who continues to inspire me to live life to the fullest. And to all of those who have wisdom walk with me, and you know who you are, to my family, my spiritual kin, my transformational leadership colleagues, my medicine brothers and sisters around the world, and to the wonderful, wonderful staff of the Alma Center, especially my protege, Mr. Floyd Roll. Much, 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 much love to you. And to those who are listening in for the first time, I want to thank you. Thank you, thank you. I could not be here and do this without your support and willingness to listen to my teachings. Thank you so much. Next week, I will continue with my theme of waking up to your truth by sharing inspiration from the Lenten season. Yeah, and it's like every major religion has this opportunity where we're going to withhold something from ourselves. We're going to, you know, let go of doing something that we like or love. And part of that is to really be in the truth. And so I will be talking more about that next week. Just again, I want to point out, and it's over here, my book, Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, which is available on Amazon, I think Walmart, Google it, you can find it. And in there I give you a wonderful overview of this ancient wisdom that I keep from the Dagara people of Burkina Faso, West Africa. And it's a wonderful foundation, especially when I'm talking about the elemental wisdom. It'll help you understand even more about that. So it's the Wisdom Walk to Self-Mastery, Ancient Wisdom for Transforming Pain, rather than transferring it. And last but not least, I want to thank my God, my ancestors, my spirit guides, my loving entities, everything that walks with me, keeps my head to the sky, my feet to the ground, and my heart open to do this important work with and for all of you. Have a fabulous fire week. Enjoy that Leo full moon full of hope and faith. Check out the Oscars and cheer for Cynthia Erivo, so that she can win for Harriet. And please, please remember, most importantly, you are not disposable. You are divine. Good night now.